Good morning, everyone. So we're going to be talking about nitrogen dynamics in twin row and conventional row corn. I'd like to acknowledge my colleagues, David Burton from Department of Environmental Sciences at Dalhousie University Ag Campus, and a host of my colleagues in Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada for their support with this project, and also my excellent technical assistance provided by Ed St. George and co-op students Zach Zwicker, Ellie Rivers, and Alex Johnson. So just some background quickly. So we know that high nitrate concentrations in ground and surface waters in Atlantic Canada, and indeed many other regions in the world, are a concern for human, animal, and environmental health. And we suspect that denitrification losses are also potentially higher in this cool, humid region when compared with others. On dairy farms, continuous corn and corn-soybean wheat rotations have lower nitrogen usage efficiencies when compared with perennial hayfield and forages and soybeans and wheat, etc. And previous research on conventional versus twin row corn in the United States and Canada has focused mostly on production and quality issues, but less work has been done on side-by-side comparisons of NUEs and environmental impacts. Also, a high proportion of farmland in Nova Scotia is tiled rained, and these systems and their water quality are an integral component of the hydrological continuum and an avenue of release of nitrogen into the environment. And there you can just see some figures of the amount of tile drainage that's been installed over the years in Nova Scotia. A wide range of nitrate concentrations in tile drainage waters from Cornwall have also been reported locally, anything from 5 to 15 milligrams of nitrogen per liter. And then just further to this, some research that we conducted between 2007 and 2012 on perennial hayfield and corn soy wheat rotations. These are growing season tile drainage loads, nitrate loads lost in tile. You can see that in years where you have a mature perennial hayfield stand, it's a lot more efficient than the corn soy wheat rotations, or it could be a continuous corn rotation, except in a plow down year, of course. There you can see in 2010 things turn around a bit. So we were thinking that when you plant twin row corn, you change the root architecture and you shift it a little bit more towards the forages, because you've got two rows instead of one in the same 30-inch space, and you have a higher plant population. So in theory, at least your rooting density per unit volume of soil should be higher, and this could potentially then lead to a shift in NUE. Here you can just see exactly the same thing for the non-growing season loads. So the objective of the study was to elucidate differences in NUE and leaching and denitrification losses in conventional and twin row silage corn systems with spring applied liquid dairy manure as the principal end source. There we just have some characteristics of the Annapolis Valley's cool, humid climate. That's in Nova Scotia. It's the main agricultural region. Annual precip of 1150. Most of it falls in the dormant season, but a fair amount in the growing season. July max 26, relatively short growing season. You can see by the corn units. Some things about the experimental site and soil. So this is where we have the Kenfield Water Quality Research Facility. It's a tile drainage site. Upland position, fairly uniform. It has a saturated profile hydraulic conductivity of 6 millimeters per hour, which is quite high. So we don't get a lot of surface runoff, but we do get a lot of drain flow at the site. So our two treatments were conventional row corn at 30-inch spacing at 75,000 plants per hectare, and then a twin row corn also at a 30-inch on a 30-inch center, but two rows spaced 8 inches apart, giving 98,000 plants per hectare. How am I doing?
So
just some notes on planting details and nitrogen rates. So we applied an incorporated liquid dairy manure in the spring as the principal end source at a target rate of 175 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Didn't exactly work out like that because we didn't have the resources to get an analysis done before the manure was applied. But both treatments received an identical rate. And then we used the FarmWest model to estimate volatilization losses, which came out at about 25 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare in 2013 and 14. And to plant a twin row, we used a single row planter with GPS, and so we made two passes and standard weed and pest control practices. And if you look at the table below, the one thing that I want to point out is in 2013, the nitrogen rate that we applied in total was actually too low. We'd expected a higher percentage of nitrogen in the manure, which just wasn't there. And so we tried to improve this in 2014. And in 2014, we happened to apply a manure that had a relatively high percentage in. So, and we also chose to band the mineral fertilizer, the supplemental fertilizer, at 100 kilograms of N per hectare, just because we felt the system needed more nitrogen. And so we came out at a total of about 185 kilograms of N per hectare, which is above the provincial recommendation rate of 150. So silage yields and quality, we harvested at one-third milk line in both 2013 and 14, and we used standard procedures and methods of analysis to estimate yields and nitrogen removal and quality parameters. Nitrate leaching, we did a mass balancing based on flow monitoring and composite sampling on 14-day intervals, which allowed us to accumulate growing season and non-growing season nitrate loads to the tiles. And then for denitrification losses, we used the acid clean inhibition method on duplicate undisturbed topsoil cores from each experimental unit with a 24-hour incubation period. We had 14 events per growing season, which was about 193 days. And then cumulative losses were determined by interpolation of the daily denitrification values. We did some root studies as well. And the way we did this was at harvest. The way we did this was to define a soil control section which extends from the midpoint of one between two rows to the midpoint between the next two rows, and 0.5 meters along the row. And we excavated and extracted all the roots in the 0 to 25 and 25 to 50 centimeter layers. So some results. The corn yields in 2013, we couldn't find any significant differences, and what we attribute that to was the fact that our nitrogen rate was just too low. And the plants at harvest actually did have a slightly chlorotic color, and there was evidence that we hadn't applied sufficient nitrogen. So it was a bit disappointing, but in 2014, there was a significant difference. We had a 21% increase in yield, which translated to about 3.7 tons per hectare of silage corn. There was no real differences in the corn quality parameters, if you look there, except that in 2014, the percent nitrogen, as indicated there as the crude protein, was 13% lower, in spite of the higher application rates, but then the yield was also higher, so there may have been a dilution effect there. In terms of nitrogen removal in silage corn, we also had significant differences. We had an appreciable more nitrogen uptake in the twin row system, 28.2 kilograms of N per hectare, or 24%. The growing season and non-growing season nitrate loads in tile drainage, if you look at the 2013 growing season, which is the ones in the middle there, that's the first year that we applied the treatments. There's no significant differences there. And going into the 2013-14 non-growing season, there was nothing. And again, it was disappointing not to find anything in the 2014 growing season, which has just come to an end. So those results don't reflect the entire growing season, but we were expecting to see some lower leaching losses in the twin row corn, which haven't materialized at this stage. So a quick look at the denitrification rates and losses. There you can see the distribution of daily denitrification rates across the season. So the first sample event there would have been just before the manure was applied. And you can see some very high rates post-manure application, and then things died away in summer and a little bit more in the fall. But really what we're talking about is anything between 95 and 120 grams of N lost per hectare per day. And cumulatively, we're talking about losses of 19 to 25 kilograms with no difference between treatments. The silage corn root yields, these are just the 2013 values. We don't have any data yet for 2014. But we didn't see any differences, and looking at the yields and the fact that we didn't put enough nitrogen into the system, we didn't expect anything. There was a tendency for the twin row system to have more corn roots at depth, though. So in summary then, a lack of differences in the first season may have been due to low nitrogen inputs. Twin row corn significantly increased yield in the second season. There were no apparent effects on silage quality, except that high yields gave rise to lower nitrogen content, possibly by a dilution effect. Denitrification losses were substantial in both treatments, but not different. An increased uptake of nitrogen in the twin row corn system in 2014 was not reflected in lower leaching losses during the growing season. But this may manifest itself in the form of lower losses in the 2014-15 non-growing season, which has just started now. So I guess one of the things that we've learned is that the magnitude of nitrate leaching losses in a given season can be misleading, since they depend on external factors and do not necessarily reflect the biological response time of the soil. And this demonstrates the value of a longer-term study. So in 2015 and 2016 growing seasons, we hope to improve our efforts. And one of the things that we have to get right is to find a way of applying the supplemental inorganic nitrogen fertilizer post-plant in such a way that we have a fair comparison. Thank you very much.